Welcome to the Breathe Podcast, where we explore the intersection of faith and creativity. We interview artists from all walks of life to discover how faith plays a role in their art and expression, hoping to encourage you to live a life of creativity and faith. And now, please welcome your co-hosts, Derek Engoy, Christian Mendoza, and Kevin Horton.
Yep. Welcome back once again to the Breathe Faith and Creativity Podcast. Thank you once again for tuning in this week from Torrance, California, the South Bay of Los Angeles. I am Derek Engoy. Chiming in from Cerritos, California, we got Christian Mendoza.
Hey.
And from Long Beach, California, 562, we got Kevin Horton.
B.
A, B. I love it. Man, can you believe we are almost done with March? It is almost April. Man, where did this year go? How are y'all doing? How has the past week been for you guys, Kevin? What's going on?
Well, March just marched out of here, didn't it? It just went gone.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm doing good. I'm blessed. I'm realizing just how amazing it is just to be alive.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a book, doesn't it? That sounds like a poster that your counselor has. It says, you're failing in school, but today is the last, it's the first day of the rest of your life.
That's
how many
right.
times did you see that poster? Really?
With like the Grand Canyon in the background of the poster.
Yeah.
How about you, Chris? How are you doing this week?
I'm chilling. I'm pumped. I'm ready to talk about some hip hop.
That's right.
About some Filipino cultural stuff.
That's right. Dude. That's right. Well, hey, before we dive into all that, you know, this is the last week of National Women's History Month. And I know that last week, Chris, we had an amazing discussion about Pastor Michelle, and you spoke.
Yeah.
You spoke a lot about her influence. But my question to you guys for our icebreaker this week, who has been the most influential woman in your life, either directly or indirectly? And I'm not sure if that's going to be your answer there, Chris. But let's start with you. Who has been the most influential woman in your life?
Well, normally I would speak about my mom, but I would do that in Mother's Day.
Okay.
This time, I want to give it to the smallest lady in my family, my Lola Lourdes, Maria Lourdes Mendoza. Like, she's like not even 5 foot, not even like maybe 90 pounds. She only, you know, went to school up to second grade. She was an orphan as a kid, grew up through the Depression and World War II. Her brother was massacred in the Bataan Death March.
Wow.
And she raised 7 kids and sent them to college. And I'm like, Lola Lourdes, like, you go.
That's
you
crazy.
Know? Like, sometimes you gotta give love to the people that kind of set the stage for others to shine.
And
I gotta give it up to my Lola.
It's crazy.
How about you guys?
Go ahead, Kevin. What about you?
Well, my first answer is to say my mom, just like Chris, but I had to be thinking too about my grandmother on my mom's side. On the outside, she seemed like the nice, sweet little lady. But if you cross her, God help you. she'd smile and she would just, she wouldn't curse or anything. But you would know exactly how you stood with her. And she was 5 feet tall. And it didn't matter how tall you were going down.
Yeah.
But how she was. But she'd love you and she'd encourage you. But you knew where you stood with her. And that's why I loved her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to continue in the theme of saying, you know, normally I would say my mom, but I will defer to someone else and actually say my sister. You know, shout out to my sister, Dana. Man, the reason why she's so influential is, you know, being the second born of our family, right? I'm going to be honest, right? I was the first born, so I was mostly spoiled. So she had to work for everything that she has, and she worked so hard to get to where she's at. You know, she works now for, you know, she's been working for ABC Disney for a long time. And, you know, she was in Burbank working specifically for ABC. And, you know, she ended up, her and her husband and my nephew, they ended up moving closer to the parks. And, you know, she was specific. You know, she's worked so hard that she could literally call the shots in what she wanted to do for the company. And she told them, hey, I don't want to work, because she's in human resources, and she's like, I don't want to work the park hires. I don't want to do that. And so they put her on special projects. So she oversaw the Star Wars project, and now she's working with the president of Disneyland and in human resources. And so she literally climbed up the mouse's corporate ladder and grabbed her cheese, you know, and so,
go Data.
So she's definitely encouraging and influential in that sense. And she, you know, it's definitely humbling.
Yeah, oh, and before we get on to the rest of our show today, don't forget to check out our Instagram page and give us a follow. We love connecting through IG. So let's connect. Usually we post news, episode updates and podcast tips for any upcoming podcast hosts looking to make an impact. Our IG handle is @breathe.podcast and help us out by spreading the word.
And I also want to take the time to remind everyone to rate and review our show on Apple Podcast. Please give us a 5-star rating. Let us know how we're doing. Show us some love. And let's make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notifications every time we release a new episode.
And then also I want to encourage you to head on over to the Patreon page under my name, Derek Engoy, and you can specifically support this podcast and help cover some of the costs to keep the show running. Of course, we have different tiers, and I just want to focus on the dollar tier. I mean, that is $1 a month. That is obviously less than a cup of coffee for sure. But I want to encourage you, you know, if you like what you hear, if you are blessed by the stories that we're able to curate through our show, help us out. Support us by going to the Patreon page and just, I'll appeal to you, just hit us up with $1 a month. That's it. And of course, we do have other tiers, but I would like to encourage you to support by giving $1 a month. And I actually want to circle back to your read there, Kevin, for the Apple Podcasts and reviews. I want to read one of our most recent review really quickly. Yeah, I want to shout out to LA Plus One. This is what LA Plus One said. Have you ever been to a restaurant and the table next to you is having a terrific conversation? There might be laughter, tears, inside jokes, wisdom, and ignorance, but something keeps you leaning in. That's what these conversations are like. Real people processing real situations, honestly, and with much trepidation. There is something to gain from each episode. Enjoy. So thanks, LA Plus One. Thank you for listening, and we truly enjoyed reading your review. Seriously, these reviews mean so much to us. So keep them coming. We'll continue to highlight your reviews throughout the rest of our season. But again, once again, thank you, LA Plus One. Yep, yep. Shout outs to you, Chris. For the past 3 episodes, you've been leading the interviews. You've, you know, starting with Carrie and then Mike the Poet. And then, of course, last week with Pastor Michelle. Yeah, you. So you drove the breathe train.
Yeah, I was driving the breathe mobile for a bit. I'm like, hey, I noticed that you've been doing a lot of the heavy weightlifting. And I'm like, yo, I don't see this disappearing anytime soon. So, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, and let's ride.
Yeah, and so it was good to have the 3 weeks off, but you know, it was definitely great to be back in the interview chair. I had the privilege of chatting with our first doctor on the show, actually, Dr. Arnel Calvario. This past week. And not only is he a doctor of occupational therapy, but he's an amazing dancer. He started Caba Modern out of UC Irvine. He's on the leadership team for Culture Shock International. And he's also involved with another dance crew called Kinjas. Dude is an all-around eclectic guy. And one of the big themes that we talked about in our interview was finding support, specifically in the dance community as well as in family. And then one other thing that you need to know is that Arnel is gay, and he came out pretty late in life, I think around 31 or 32. And the reason why he came out so late in age is because of the fear of not being welcomed or accepted, which of course he found that acceptance and welcome in dance, of course, and in family. So a couple things that I want to talk about before we play his interview is, has there been a time in your life where you felt ashamed of who you were? Or ashamed of a part of your life that you kept it in the dark for a long period of time? Kevin, let's start off with you.
Several times, but I can think of a couple times when, for one reason or another, bullies in school would just bully me. And all I could really focus on was they're bullying me because I was different, because I walked with a limp. I don't know how many times everybody says, why do you limp? Why do you limp? I got tired of giving that answer. I got tired of it, and I would get bullied and bullied and bullied. And then I just got tired of getting bullied. And so many times would cause me to shelter in place in a way, or run home and just get away from the world. And that's how I ended up making up recordings and recording my voice, and look at what I'm doing with it now. So
in a lot of ways, it forced me to become an introvert. And because I've been introverted, then it would cause me to be creative. So I see that it helped me in the long run, but it really hurt going through that.
Yeah. And you know, so you're saying you found support in the voice acting community. Yeah. How about you, Chris?
Oh, this is definitely having bipolar disorder. Mm. I mean, I found out when I was like 38, you know, maybe at the earliest, and I'm 47 now, and I just came out and said, hey, I'm going to own this. Hey, I have bipolar disorder. We talked about it in the previous episode with Pastor Michelle.
It
cleared away, you know, some of the sadness in my heart, and it allowed for goodness to come in. And ever since then, yeah, it's just getting a little bit better every day. You know, I can't say that I have any regrets of, you know, what had happened in the past. I mean, it happened and I accept it. Dude, I'm ready to roll. Let's go on from now.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. You know, for me, it would have to be the color of my skin, right? So especially growing up, and more specifically in my younger years. I mean, I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood, and not just like light-skinned black guys, but really dark-skinned black folk. So I felt like I fit in there. But when I was around my family, when I was around my friends, I was usually mostly, you know, the darker shade of brown. And, you know, I would, you know, it's funny because my friends on the streets, they never made fun of the color of my skin. It was my own family, you know, my own family and friends, other Filipinos who were lighter toned. And so that really, really affected me growing up to the point where I didn't even want to go to family gatherings. I didn't want to hang out with Filipinos. I didn't start hanging out with Filipinos until college, quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
Because of that, because of the, you know, remarks of being dark, you know, even from my own, you know, parents. Well, more specifically, my mom saying, you know, don't hang out outside for too long because you're just getting darker and darker. And I'm like, well, I can't help that. Like even if I didn't go outside, I must still be dark, you know? And so I was ashamed of that for a long time until I just, you know, you grow older and you're just like, man, screw it, you know? And you're like, I don't care what anyone says anymore. I'm going to be who I am. Even to the point now, like there is a sense of pride in the tonality of my skin, you know? And, you know,
I feel you.
So I mean, it's who I am, but I know that part of me, you know, I was ashamed of that growing up, you know, and you know, other cultural nuances and, you know, Arnell and I go into some of those into the interview about some of the things, not just the fact that he was gay, but there are some other areas of cultural influence that perhaps, you know, as an Asian American trying to live our lives, there is these pressures that we face, having to be someone we're not, that's what I would say. That's, So yeah, thanks for sharing that. I know it was a little deep, little sensitive, I think, in a lot of cases, but I thank you guys for, you know, indulging me with those areas of your lives. Cause it's tough, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I talked to Kim the other day when I had upside the prince, and what I was saying is like, hey, we're all basically letting everybody know what the blueprint is to get out of a rut, depression, this and that. And we're just all showing you little bits and pieces of our formula because we know that people out there, probably some of them are bummed and they can't admit it. I mean, part of the biggest part when you have depression is admitting that you need help.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest step. And dude, like, I know that there's a lot of people that are bummed out right now.
Yeah.
And so I know that this stuff will help them.
And I love what you said at the beginning of the season, Chris, like these episodes have been like therapy where we didn't have to pay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we do have to pay because of all the hosting fees that we have to put up for the podcast. So, but I mean, that's what they are. I mean, it's a place for not only the three of us, but even some of our guests. It provides a platform for them to share what they've been going through. And each one, I'm sure even the ones that I haven't interviewed that you guys have interviewed would leave each interview feeling refreshed, feeling like a weight has been lifted. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Before we get deeper into other issues, let's sit back, let's relax, and let's enjoy this amazingly encouraging conversation with dancer and doctor Arnell Calvario. All right, today on the Breathe Faith and Creativity podcast, we have an amazing guest for you today. I met Arnell through my wife, Marissa, and we've run into each other from time to time, but I love how Arnell is involved in the community. In fact, Arnell in particular takes me way, way back. I mean, some of you may not know this about me, but one of the many things I've done and I still do from time to time is I used to get down on the dance floor. Yeah, that's right. I used to dance in various college crews. I used to hit the linoleum way back in elementary and all the way up into high school. Arnell, amongst many things, is the founder of Cabo Modern out of UCI. He's the president of the dance group Culture Shock International. Arnell is also involved with another dance crew turned lifestyle brand and media company called Kinjas. He's also the first doctor we've had on the show. He's a doctor of occupational therapy. He's just an all-around amazing guy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Dr. Arnell Calvario. Arnell, welcome to the show and thanks for coming on. How are you doing?
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and blessing to be here.
Yeah.
It's so cool hearing all the facets of you too, because you're one talented dude.
Well, we have a rivalry, don't we? I mentioned the dance crews. I'm representing Pac Modern. You're representing Cabo, man. What's up with that?
Hell yeah. I know. Yeah, there was definitely a rivalry in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're like, everyone's like super homies, especially because those two are like two of the most veteran oldest.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. We'll get into more of the dance in a little bit, but let's quickly start with an icebreaker. Speaking of dance, who's your favorite dancer who's in the public eye, living or dead?
A lot of my favorite dancers are actually on my crew, and it's not even being biased. Sure. Like before they were on my crew, they were my favorite. So Ving Nguyen, he's from Kinjas. Keone, Keone and Mari, both of them. Mr. Wiggles was like my first inspiration.
Okay.
As an OG popper. And then Don Campbell, the creator of Locking.
Yeah.
Like forever inspiration. Right. Yeah. And he rests in peace.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. So bio moment. I know I read off a bunch of different things that you're involved with, but you know, who is Arnell and what makes you?
I'm a real big believer that we're all like a mosaic of many different brilliant extraordinary parts.
Yeah.
So I'm a bunch of many things, you know. I'm definitely like career-wise, I'm a dance educator and also you know, doctor of occupational therapy.
Yeah.
So the combination of those makes my career. But I'm definitely, you know, I'm a product of my ancestors, of all my family, my chosen family, my community. Yeah. So I know we'll dive more deep into all that, but yeah, I'm a product of all those things.
Yeah. How did you get into dance?
Luckily I was born in the 70s. So yeah. I was like blessed to grow up, through the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Right. When, you know, hip hop was in our parks, in our streets, in our house parties, you know, in our garage parties. So, I learned it from my neighborhoods and from the jams nearby, you know, taking buses to events and it was dope, you know, where you saw like B-boys, poppers and lockers, you know, out in the community. And that's where you learned it too. You had to learn from an OG, you know? So that was my beginnings. And I loved it too. Just having like live music outdoors, you know, the graph writers, whether they're writing on clothes or writing on, you know, their sketch pads or writing on the wall. Yeah. And then the MCs hyping everybody up, you know? So I love that interplay in our community and that excitement of a feeling that something new and fresh was created for the community, by the community, you know, that's what I grew up with, you know, like in terms of dance, but I also grew up doing Filipino cultural dancing since I was like six.
Right.
Because my auntie LB was a big choreographer for a group called Kaimana Nangahi.
Okay.
Kind of based near UCLA.
All right.
And so I grew up, all the cousins had no choice. We were expected to learn cultural dancing, which I, you know, at the time I didn't understand how amazing that was as a child.
Yeah.
But as I got older, I was like, this is so dope to learn about my heritage and to also see how I can connect to even my parents who grew up learning it in school. You know what I mean? And in their communities as well. And I think that's kind of the parallel is like what hip hop was in my community is what some of these cultural dance art forms were to my mom and dad.
Right.
You know, the province and in the city. So, so that parallel there was really nice to kind of now reflect back on and yeah. see, wow, there is a thread, you know?
Yeah, that's wild.
So dance has always been a part of my life. I just, and when I got to college, when I was a freshman at UCI, I just innocently wanted an extension of what I experienced growing up and also in high school right. in my college experience.
So what would you say your biggest challenges are when it comes to the dance world?
Well, so part of my journey of dance is like the cool thing is growing up, I felt like I was always embraced by it. Mm. Right. I was always a welcome guest into the house of hip hop and it was always, but I was shy and I wasn't very confident in myself growing up. And I had older cousins who were kind of punks, you know, who yeah. kind of didn't necessarily think I was cool enough to be a part of it. And yeah. that kind of translated to me as well. So it's interesting how in college, everything kind of flipped. But now that we had these people like believing in me and encouraging me, and I took that and I ran with it, you know, and that was the turning point. And that's why I created Cabo Modern, because people believed in me and encouraged me to do so.
Yeah.
And that changed my life forever.
That's cool.
Because that's when I felt like I was deserving of now, before I was on the outside of the cipher looking in.
Yeah.
And now I was a part of the cipher from the inside out.
So with your history of dance, one, why did, and I guess I could see the correlation, but maybe this is a two-part question. One, why did you pursue a doctorate in occupational therapy? And then how would you describe the two ventures as being similar?
On my mom's side, there's a long history of medical professionals. And I'm the oldest.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a mama's boy too. So I also wanted to like, I've always, you know, wanted to make my mom and my dad proud, especially my mom, because I was a mama's boy.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because out of all my relatives, one of my biggest inspirations was my uncle who went through medical school all the way and graduated near the top of his class and then decided he wanted to be a community artist.
Wow.
And like threw it all away. I mean, he was shunned for a bit, but then when the people saw his work in the community, he did arts programs. He taught people how to paint and, created like a community center. And so that was an interesting like influence. So it was kind of like a mixture of all those influences. And so I went to UCI as a bio major, intending to go to medical school.
Okay.
But I went on a medical mission on my junior year. And, you know, we delivered babies, did cataract surgeries, tumor resections. For me, it all started to feel very procedural. And I found myself gravitating towards the recovery room and checking on them the next day. Like what happens next? How are they feeling afterwards? Yeah. What are the families going through, you know, like, you know, caring for their loved one. And I came back from that feeling like, I think I'm going to actually be a health professional, but I don't think being a doctor is it. So I delved into physical therapy first, because that's what I knew of. And then after I discovered occupational therapy, which is really like operates from a biopsychosocial model. Mm-hmm. So all the things I love.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I love biology, I love psychology, and I love sociology.
Right.
And it's so holistic, because occupational therapy is in the business of helping people get back to things that occupy their time. Mm. And so it's very personalized, the therapies that you do for every patient you work with. Yeah. And that's just me. That was like totally fits my personality and my interests. Now who I am, when I think about, you know, following occupational therapy and also having a dance career, I completely shifted my mindset of like, why can't I just be both?
Wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like the construct of people feeling like you have one pathway is really an unhealthy construct. You know, we're really like I said earlier, we're a brilliant mosaic of many extraordinary parts. And so the more we embrace all of those parts, we find the right combination that works for us.
Yeah.
And when we find that right combination, we stay healthier and happier not for also only ourselves, but for everyone we're connected to.
You mentioned medical missions earlier, which leads me to my next question. Let's talk about your faith background a little bit, if you prescribe to any. And how does your, if you do, how does your faith play a role in your creativity in dance and even in occupational therapy?
Uh, Well, I definitely grew up Catholic. My parents are both very devout Catholic.
Like most Filipinos, right?
So I grew up all the way through college, okay. You know. But as I kind of came to terms with my, you know, sexuality and my you know, identity as a gay man, mm-hmm. I just started drifting from Catholicism, mm-hmm. just knowing that it's not accepted or embraced at all.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it is a part of who I am.
Yeah.
And so then it started to be my relationship to Catholicism ended up being very much more for like the family tradition.
Right.
And I do see the beauty and some of the communal feelings because I love some of the priests that I grew up with. Right. They've been life-changing and, you know, tremendous positive impacts in my life. But I can't also honestly say that when I walk into a Catholic mass, that I feel embraced for all of who I am, God created. And I see actually the beauty in all religions, a lot of religions that I've been to, because, you know, I've been to Buddhist temples, uh-huh. I've been to non-denominational Christian, you know, I've been to a bunch of different churches and I see beauty in all of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And all of their belief systems, there's, you know, whether it's God or a source, there's a belief that there's something else out there, whether it's within you or it's out there, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
There's a beauty in all of that. And so I believe in all of them, actually, right. That I do think there's God within us, you know, we're created in God's image,
yeah.
But I also do believe in God, you know, and I do have a close relationship with God without going to mass every Sunday,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of where I've reconciled it is that, you know, I'm going to continue being the best human being I could be. I definitely believe in being my brother's and sister's keeper, you know?
Yeah. So everything that you have come to reconcile and resolve about your personal relationship with God, how does that play a role in your creative life, both as a dancer and even as an OT?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer in the saying that, you know, life is about making things happen and also letting things happen. Hmm. Right.
Right.
So we have volition and choice and risks that we take and things that we, you know, take initiative for. But I definitely believe that, you know, there's also aspects that we have to allow God to take the handle, you know what
right.
I mean? Take this,
yeah.
The steering wheel. And we have to have enough faith, you know, that there is a plan too, you
yeah.
know? So I feel throughout everything I've achieved, I felt, you know, God was looking out for me,
yeah.
You know, even beyond my own understanding or beyond my timing, you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Or presentation, you know? And I've also really felt that the more I trusted as I got older, mm-hmm. just the greater the experience has been and also how things go beyond even what I've ever prayed for
right.
when I trust, you know what I
yeah,
mean, in God, God's
yeah.
plan. Also, you know, when I think about how God has shown up in my life, you know, one of the things that I really prayed for during the time when Cabo Modern was created and all these events, you know, I saw popping up and I saw how the California dance community just grew mm-hmm. is I always like had hoped I would get the opportunity to go back to the Philippines
yeah.
and do a full circle, you know, and be able to contribute and, you know, uplift and connect with the community there. And so, yeah, maybe about 5 to 6 years ago, I got invited to teach the University, and there was a moment where the leaders uh-huh. didn't pause, and they all extended their hands over me,
mm-hmm.
and they thanked God for bringing me there.
Oh, that's so cool!
And I felt like, in that moment, every time I look at that picture with 300 dancers from all different provinces, because I created what I did with Culture Shock LA
uh-huh.
with H4 Dance Summit. I did that for the Philippines
wow.
called the Hip Hop Dance Convention. And to have all these dancers from all over, you know, the different provinces and cities in the Philippines there and feeling that connection with them and then hearing them thanking God for bringing me there.
Yeah.
It felt like a full circle moment. And I got those little chills.
Yeah.
Just God's telling me that I'm exactly you know, who I'm supposed to be in that moment. And I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
That's so good.
In that moment. Yeah. I go back every year now, twice a year. Like, so what I prayed for has become now a part of my life and my journey.
Wow.
Now. There was another passion project I had always dreamed of doing, which was my leadership tools for the dance leader program, which is really like supporting leaders now, teams, community leaders, dance studio owners who need support on how to write a mission statement, to how to develop effective communication, how to manage group dynamics, especially during all the social justice themes that we're trying to learn and unlearn, you know, and to show up better for, and self-care and dance history, you know, like dance culture appreciation. It's been my dream to teach that. And so I did it online. Again, I prayed on it. And then Dustin, my partner, said, you're meant to teach this course virtual.
Yeah,
I never thought about teaching it virtual. And so between June, I would take classes of like 32 at a time. And so, as of last month, I've reached 223 dancers from all across the globe.
Yeah.
And again, that's like this little thing inside me that feels that that's my purpose, taking a leap of faith and then trusting that God is going to deliver.
Yeah.
I definitely believe that. Yeah.
So I want to talk about healing a little bit, not necessarily physical healing, but we can, if that's the route you want to go. But how have you experienced God specifically through dance, and perhaps maybe as you've taught your students, how have you experienced the healing of God through that form? Because let's face it, I would consider dance as a form of therapy as well. Have you, or how have you experienced God heal in that respect?
I feel like, I know this is going to sound super cheesy, but I feel like the times where I felt my art or the projects of dance that I've done aligned with my purpose that I think I was created for are the times I felt like I was being healed, like the inner child of me was being healed through God, you know, in my art. So for example, Cold Shock LA, at some point I felt like there were just too many dance competitions and I felt like, you know, the dance competitions are great, but like when you only have dance competitions and battles, then you breed a battle mentality and competitive spirit. And so I felt like the community needed to talk more about human lived experiences and healing, you know?
Yeah.
And so Cold Shock LA started doing these benefit shows. And the first one was HIV AIDS awareness. The next one was violence prevention. And I felt like every time I did that show, one, I got a reaction from the audience that was more rewarding than any other experience ever. And I saw tears and you felt like you had a connection.
Yeah.
And in those moments, I felt that those tingly feelings from God, like telling me this is the path you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
And those are like those. And then another one was we did this H4 Dance Summit. We created it because we felt like all the generations were disconnected and the pioneers were being so separate from these new progressors.
Right.
And there was just this lack of understanding. So we created H4 Hip Hop Has History Dance Summit to unite different ethnicities, different generations, different geographic dancers bring under one roof for an entire weekend to learn, exchange, connect, understand. And those were also times where I was like, I got those feelings, you know, from God. And I also felt like all the doubt I had about where dance falls in my life was all of the things that I also, my own voices of beating myself down were actually being replaced by affirmation. And I felt like that was coming through God, you know what I mean? And that's through intentional work that aligns, I think, with God's purpose for me being here, you know? So those are the times where I felt affirmed. I felt like aligned, you know, and I think I needed that growing up, especially when you're fearful of who you are. Right. Your fear. I was confused and scared of who I was as a gay male, you know, and through this moment, through Cabo Modern, through Culture Shock LA, Through the work I did, I felt like I was finally, you know what I mean, growing into loving myself again. And that was God also telling me, you have purpose, you know, you matter here on earth. Cause I had suicidal thoughts at some point where I was just like, this, I'm going to like disappoint my parents. I'm going to like, I'm the oldest of four siblings. I'm gonna let everyone down, you know, and you get like really all these like fear thoughts that I think is really like very dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
But because of dance and because of these experiences, I felt I strayed away from all those voices and I felt like I was healed, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
And I also feel like because of that, that's why I'm also dedicated to, or I have empathy for anyone that also feels displaced. Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To help them understand they matter, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's both of mine and Marissa's story, right? I'm sure she shared her miscarriage and, you know, she's, you know, had to journey through that. And, you know, I've had bouts of depression, anxiety, and suicidality as well. And so you come out of that, right? Like you were saying, with a different mindset, right? And you have this ability to, like you said, empathize with other people. And it's a beautiful thing, right? You mentioned the word purpose a few times moments ago. What would you say if you could phrase that in like a sentence? What would you say your purpose is?
I think my purpose is to use my God-given talent, like words, heart, to uplift people, to inspire people, to be inspired by people, and to also help people amplify themselves in their own voice.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Hope that my art and my words and actions kind of lend to that positive impact.
Yeah. A couple of more questions I have for you. So when did you finally come out and how did that feel for you and how'd you process?
So I came out late because I came out when I was 31, really close to being 32. Okay. And so for 3 decades, I even had a long-term girlfriend at a time for 8 years. Mm. So it was just an interesting journey of, it's interesting how when you fear it so much, you can almost block it out or you can almost like categorize it as everyone's attracted to different things. You know what I mean? And then you finally arrive, you know, at this is who I are and I should begin the journey of healing, you know, all the past and embracing who I am, you know, and moving forward. Yeah.
Now, would you say that your dance community was your biggest support community coming out? Or where else did you get the support when you finally became public?
It was a combination because I do have a very loving family and my siblings were really amazing too. And I actually, my youngest brother is gay also.
Okay.
And I had a support system from the dance community, but also I just had a tribe in college of people like even, you know, in my year that I was a friend a lot through the Filipino club.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of support where at that point in my life at 31, if it did not go well with my parents, I had support ready to catch me. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I was going to ask a specific question, which I always ask in closing, but I felt like I needed to shift it. And so the one question I have for you, let's say someone is younger or not younger, just whatever age, but they're still struggling to go public with whether they're gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever they might be. What would you say to that person struggling who's afraid to come out and share this side of them with their loved ones? What would you say to encourage them?
Definitely talk to somebody because we're not, you know, we have to be totally understanding to you that not everyone is blessed with, you know, a supportive, you know, social circle.
Uh-huh.
But there are hotlines everywhere, like from the Trevor Project or, you know, a lot of free hotlines where you can get connected to resources because that journey of coming out, it's a difficult one.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of factors depending on your life experience because everyone's human lived experience is different, right?
Yeah,
it has many different factors. And so I would just say get support and, you know, if whether it's calling, you know, a resource line, a hotline, you know, getting connected with, you know, a therapist that can be supportive or a counselor that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was the priest at my church, which is so interesting, you know, that he was one of the first I told and he was instrumental in helping me actually get through it with my parents because my parents talk to him, only felt safe talking to him.
Right.
So it's like this, your support is sometimes also in the most unlikely places.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I would recommend to a young person. I mean, it's awesome if you have amazing friends, chosen family, you know, members that can support you. But if not, there are resources out there. You don't have to also be alone. You know, you can talk to someone because, yeah, everyone deserves that support and that, you know, that guidance, you know.
So good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Before I let you go, we do this thing every episode dating back to season one. We do this thing called lightning round. You down to play?
Yes.
All right, so here's how it goes. I'm going to give you about, I think I have 10 or 11 choices, right? One or two choices, and you just pick the first one that comes to your mind of these choices that I give you, right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Blue or purple?
Blue, for sure.
Lakers or Clippers?
Lakers.
Bruno Mars or Anderson .Paak? Now they've teamed up, man. Now they've teamed up.
I know. I'm going to go with Bruno.
Beach Street or Breaking?
Breaking.
Rattlesnake Calathea or Neon Pothos?
Rattlesnake Calatheas.
I was on.
Melissa has gotten me to be a crazy plan daddy now. So.
Dude, I had to ask her. I was like, what has he bought in the past like couple of weeks? I want to give him some choices.
Now, if you said Neon Pothos Kokodama.
Yeah.
That would be it because that's Marissa's creation and that's my favorite plant. Yeah.
Savion Glover or Gregory Hines?
Savion Glover.
Downtown Long Beach or Belmont Shore?
Downtown Long Beach.
Wanda or Vision?
Wanda. For sure.
Anakin or Darth Vader?
That's hard to pick. Uh-huh. I'm a Star Wars geek, so if I think of Anakin as a young kid, Anakin, but if I think of Anakin as an adult, I would say hell no. And then Darth Vader is the same thing. If I think about the beginning, like of when we met him, or I think about, I'm going to say Darth Vader because at the end.
And then finally, Pack Modern or Cabo Modern?
Cabo Modern.
Boo! For sure. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Arnell on the mic. Hey, thank you so much for joining in. Before we let you go, why don't you shout out your socials? So for those who want to follow your work, they can find you online. Why don't you shout those out for a second?
Sure. I mean, my main socials are my own Instagram, at Arnell Calvario. But my work, you can find me at Kinja's, Cabo Modern, or Culture Shock LA, because I'm most active with Culture Shock LA. Yeah,
and we'll link those in the show notes as well. And of course, I know he's on Clubhouse too, so look for him on Clubhouse if you're there. And if you're on, you have an iOS device, look for him on there. If you need an invite, I'm sure you can hit both of us up. We'll give you an invite.
We'll hook you up.
We're gonna slang these invites. But hey. Right. Thank you for jumping on, and thank you so much. All right, guys, there it is. Dr. Arnell Calvario, Doctor of Occupational Therapy and dancer extraordinaire. What an amazing conversation. I know I had a refreshing time interviewing him. Kevin, let's start with you. What are some other things that stood out from the interview that maybe you want to go a little bit deeper in?
I have never said the words, I can relate to that more in an interview within 30 minutes. If you were to watch it, I was listening to it in my car driving. I can relate to that. I sound like, who's that? Dustin Hoffman in,
Rain
Man? Rain Man. It was like, I can relate to that. Yeah. I can relate to that. Yeah.
Well, what's one specific thing that you could relate to?
Just him dealing with his shame.
Mm.
Just saying, I was ashamed of that. I ran from that. I hid that part of me. That really struck a chord with me, because then it's only been recently that I've been able to come to terms with myself too, and realize that God made me this way, and I have to love myself. And I didn't know how to do that. And it sounds like Arnell was going through that same process too. That's where we were walking the same walk.
Yeah. Well, he even mentioned, right? He even had a long-term girlfriend with, I don't want to say the hopes that, you know, he would change. But even that, I mean, he was trying to figure out his identity. He was trying to figure out his life. And because of the shame he was facing, you know, he even had this long-term relationship, perhaps maybe to, I don't know, hide the fact that he was gay, but to try to figure life out, right? To try to figure things out. But yeah, shame is definitely a really tough thing to deal with and to go through. Yeah. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I could kind of expand on that too. I mean, it's the internal prison, you know, because him being homosexual and me being bipolar, it's kind of like, that's something that we let people know about, you know? And so I know like what it felt like, you know, just to have that many years of being like, yo, is this what it's really like? And yeah. And so, I mean, Derek, I mean, we were used to give college lectures, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like before in the past. And then here I am, I'm like, oh, wow, I just had a complete mental breakdown. Am I going to let everybody know? And it's like, you know, people used to look at, you know, put us up on a somewhat of a pedestal. We were kind of leaders in a sense. And it was just like breaking down that ego and finally saying, you know what? This is what I have.
Yeah.
And it's like, I got to ride with it. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, you know, it's been getting better. And yeah, you just got to break out of it and liberate yourself, you know, from those shackles.
Yeah. You know, one thing that he mentioned in the interview was this desire that he wanted to go back to the Philippines and teach workshops there. And it became a reality. And man, I could just imagine how exciting that was for him, right? And it got me thinking about dreams and the many dreams that perhaps all three of us have had. Maybe I can ask it this way to you guys. What's a dream that you've always wanted to pursue? And when it finally came to fruition, how did you feel? Kevin, what about you?
Well, I wanted to always say voice acting, but I've talked about that for the last several episodes. But it another thing that really hit home for me was in 2004 when I got my master's of business administration. And it was very special for me because the committee over there at Cal State Long Beach, I love them.
49er?
I know.
excuse me. Let me backtrack.
The Sharks now,
we're now
right?
The Sharks.
Oh, man. Horrible.
Oh, man. Cal State
All I can think of when you said Sharks as the Jaws theme. Dun, 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 dun. But they were able to allow my parents to join me in a very special way at the ceremony. So not only did I get my master's degree, but my parents were very, very close to me in the graduation area to where I could look behind them. And my dad gave me the thumbs up sign, which is his nonverbal way of giving me approval. And I can remember when the music started for us to walk down, I cried. And then when they put the master's hood on you, I cried again.
Yeah. Wow.
And my uncle, who was watching remotely, wrote to all of his people in his mobile home park. He said, my nephew is getting his master's today and he's overcome lots of obstacles. And to hear that from a member of your family, for them to acknowledge you like that, I cried again. Yeah. I mean, I was a blubbering mess that day.
Well, speaking of Jaws, Steven Spielberg is also a graduate of Cal State Long Beach. So there you have it.
Steven, hire me. Yes, please hire me.
If you're listening, yeah. Mr. Spielberg. How about you, Chris? What's a dream that you've always had and it became a reality and how'd you feel?
Man, pretty much just recently what just happened. It's just being accepted for being me and not only that, but being celebrated for it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, the church has a lot to do with it. I mean, we talked about it in the previous episode. It's like, not have they put me up full of encouragement. I mean, they like me for what I have to bring to the table. And at the same time, I'm willing to kind of bend and reach them in the middle.
Yeah.
And learn how to speak their love language and they're learning mine. And yeah, so I mean, that's all I want. It's awesome.
It's good.
How about you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think in many ways, I've outlined a lot of my dreams throughout the season, but I, you know, I'll go back to the workshop. You know, I've done it from, you know, a school level, whether it be for LAUSD, you know, to after school programs. But the fact that I get to teach a creative writing workshop specifically for the community has always been a dream that's now a reality. And, you know, shout outs to the Long Beach Community Theater, because, you know, if anything, if it wasn't for Anne Wellman to push me or to even ask, am I teaching workshops? And I simply said no. And she's like, well, do you want to teach one? I'm like, sure. And so something as simple as that made this dream of mine a reality. And, you know, it's exciting because not only has it been something I've been wanting to do specifically for the community, but, you know, it's something that now I've gotten a taste of it. And it doesn't seem, not to say that it seemed impossible, but now that I've gotten a taste of it, it does seem like it's, nothing's impossible, right? When it comes to something like this.
Yeah.
Anything else from the interview that stood out to you guys?
I like the way that, I mean, he's a student of culture and history at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just hip hop culture, it's Philippine culture.
Yeah.
You know, and he's tying the Filipino cultural dances to it's basically like those dances are very images of how they see society and how they express themselves. Mm-hmm. And to be able to see the parallel between the two, that's the beauty of it. He understands that, you know, these are legitimate forms of expression. I mean, you used to dance back in the day. When I see dope freestyle dancers back in the day, like when they used to have the firecracker alley right there, Grand Star.
Yeah.
Dude. Oh my gosh, like those dancers are so amazing. They're so good. I mean, I saw like Jabberwockies, Late Twins, like that, like all that stuff. And that's like 10 years ago. Yep. I don't even want to know what they're doing now.
Well, they came out of Cabo Modern. So Arnell definitely has a hand in the Jabberwockies too. So
they're like the creme de la creme. Like those guys are all dope. I mean, like Culture Shock. I mean, Nicky Gregorio is part of all that too.
Yeah. John Aspirin, another poet, another hip hop artist.
Give love to the Pat guys too.
Yeah, which Kevin, and, you know John Aspirin as well. So
yeah,
yes I do.
Yeah, so with his work with Knott's Berry Farm and the Scary Farm mazes and stuff like that. How about you, Kevin? Anything else stood out from the interview before we wrap things up here?
Just how he just is so intent on understanding culture, and you were mentioning dance troupes. I was just thinking about all the ones that I got to see in my lifetime. And one of them is the Academy of Villains.
Never heard of them. I got to look them up.
I think they were on one of those talent searches. But then also, I got a chance to meet the Jabberwockies.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Time.
And
our worlds are colliding.
I know.
And the beauty about dance is it's a universal language that doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, bi, trans, any of that. It's a great meeting point. And to watch a Jabberwocky show, to watch the Academy of Villains, it's just amazing.
Yeah. You know, and to go back, to bring it back to Arnell, I'm sure you picked it up in the interview, but the dude is extremely generous and kind. Mm-hmm. And sure, you can capture that in his words and his stories. But when I met him through Marissa, and he's a huge supporter of Marissa's plant business. Shout outs to Good Morning Cactus if you're looking for succulents and houseplants.
Shout out, beautiful stuff.
Yeah. So he's a huge supporter, and he visits her maybe once or twice a month, maybe even three times a month. And, you know, every time he interacts with her, Marissa has nothing but great things to say about Arnell. Like, hey, Arnell came to the shop, and the guy is just extremely generous, extremely supportive. He's so kind. And man, when you meet him in person, he just has this look like, man, this is a cool guy. There's nothing about this guy that seems harmful. Like, it doesn't seem like he has any kind of mean or angry bone in his body, which he's human. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it's there, but the way he presents himself is just encouraging. And I was just so blessed to be able to converse with him. We had a great time. It was a very, very loose interview. And it just, right off the bat, again, we talked about the rivalry between Pac Modern and Cabo Modern. And it was...
Broom ball.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, shout outs to Arnell. Thank you again for diving in. Any last minute thoughts before we wrap up today?
Yeah, I'd like to bring up Arnell talking about the mosaic, the one pathway of life. And he's right, man. Like, we are a Frankenstein in a sense, or we are a mosaic of a lot of different things. It's our experiences, our environment, you know, what we've been taught. And yeah, man, I applaud him for recognizing that and promoting it through his work at his life. He's a cool dude.
Yeah. So
I'd like to meet him someday.
Hey, he's always at the shop. So if you...
Oh, for real?
He's always visiting Marissa. So head on over to Corridor Flow, which is one of our sponsors.
In Lomita. In Lomita.
Well, there it is, guys. Thanks again for your input and thoughts. Just, you know, again, I just am humbled and privileged to hear the sensitive talk of shame that we began the show with. And really to navigate through that, I was encouraged and really felt blessed to hear that from you guys. So thanks again for always being honest and willing to share your thoughts. But again, great show. Thanks again, listeners out there, for tuning in this week. Don't forget to rate and review our podcast. Make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button if you're on Apple Podcasts. They're making a change soon. We'll see you on Instagram at breathe.podcast. Don't forget to check out the new Facebook group page, the Breathe Podcast group page, and we can continue these conversations online. Until next time, be the light, extend your hand in love, and make peace with someone this upcoming week. Stay blessed, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Peace.
Happiness.
Happiness.